The theme of this Advent Sunday is love. And I have two passages. The first from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And the second passage from 1 John, chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent us his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us.
The Christmas story is all about love. It was inspired by love when God saw our need for forgiveness and eternal life, knowing it would cost the suffering and death of his Son, sent him to be our Savior. The Christmas story is also an expression of love because the Son of God loved us so much, he was willing to leave the peace and glory of heaven and become one of us. For one loving purpose, to take our place and die for us. As we think about Christmas, we should praise God for his love for us, but also be moved to show that same love to others, to accept, care for, protect, serve, and forgive those around us. Let us pray. Father God, we pray that the message of your love seen in the Christmas story will touch many lives, and for your love to be shown by us, both personally and as a church, accepting all who may be different from us, forgiving all who hurt us, sharing with those in need, both near and far, and sharing the good news of God's love for all. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
If all hearts are at peace. This morning's scripture is from Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 25. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out. or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred and discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit.
Thank you, Brent. I'm in the middle of a little series on the Holy Spirit, the role of the Holy Spirit in the life of the Christian. And today we're looking at the topic of keeping in step with the Spirit, the ongoing, daily, hourly, minute by minute, in step with the Spirit of God. I mentioned a few weeks ago that I learned to fly in a little Cessna kind of plane. Wally Christofferson was the guy, I never forgot his name, who was my instructor. And he would take us up and after explaining everything and going through the basic lessons, and he would be holding on to the what used to be called the joystick is now the yoke. And the control wheel on the yoke in the little plane. And then once I got a bit of a handle on it, he would then sit back and just say, "You're all right, climb to 500, and then bank around to the left and climb to 1,000 and now level out and turn around again." And so he'd tell me what to do, and then he was there. When we come into landing, it was quite interesting because as we were going down, I thought our nose was down too low and we're going too fast to land. We're going more towards the ground than we should be. So I started pulling it back and he grabbed the yoke and pushed it back down again. He said, "If you pull it back up, you'll stall and we'll fall straight to the ground." So I said, "Okay." But the thing was that he was there. He was there. And as I was learning and growing in confidence in flying, he was there to grab a hold of the yoke if he needed to and to guide me in what I did. But then I went solo and he wasn't beside me. And so that was another story altogether. In the Christian life, there's no flying solo. You always have the Spirit of God beside you, inside you. He's there to nudge you, to encourage you, to strengthen you, to guide you, and to help you to know that is going to be a crash landing. Don't do that. And He will be there to guide us step by step through our Christian lives. That's the whole role of the Spirit of God in the life of the Christian. So we live under the guidance of our instructor, the Spirit of God. And when we looked a couple of weeks ago at being filled with the Spirit, remember it was a present continuous tense to keep on being filled with the Spirit, to live your life without anything that will hinder the Spirit of God from guiding and empowering you to live the way you and I are meant to live. And so we now look at keeping in step with the Spirit, the ongoing daily life that we have and meant to have with the Spirit of God. And the first point I want to bring out from this passage is that we actually live by the Spirit. Then we're going to look at how we are led by the Spirit and then how we keep in step with the Spirit. So first of all, we live by the Spirit. This is a new principle of how to live. It is the new principle of the Spirit rather than the law. And what I mean by that is it says in verse 16, we live by the Spirit. When you live by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Now listen to that. When you live by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And they're listed out there, which we'll come to in a little while. But the desires of the flesh or the sinful nature are always there. But when you live by the Spirit, you'll not gratify those. You'll be living under the rule and the leadership and the tutorship, if you'll, the instructorship of the Spirit of God who dwells within. So it's a new principle. It's not law. It's not following an outward bunch of rules, whether it's the law of God written in the Bible or whether it's laws that people make. Some Christians and churches have all kinds of rules. You know, you're not allowed to wear your hair longer than a certain amount if you're a guy, and you're not allowed to wear skirts that are more than 3 inches above the knee or something. And all these rules, and whether you can or can't drink and smoke and all the rest of it, there's all these rules for Christians, and we are free to follow God. We're not under rules. The Spirit of God is our guide. And some people therefore differ in the length of their hair, or if they've got enough to grow it long. Mine's getting thinner and thinner all the time. But anyway, those kind of rules go by the side, and you then follow the Spirit of God, who is the author of Scripture. So he won't say something that's contrary to what the Word of God says, but he dwells within and guides us in moral decisions, in the way we live our lives. So this new principle of the spirit rather than the law. So we have our sinful nature is not negated by the law. So if you live by law, you still have the sinful nature that's there. It's like a tiger. It's like a wild animal inside, and it wants to take over and move you to jealousy and to answer back to somebody, or get mad and angry and lash out at somebody with your tongue, or whatever it might be. And laws, though they may guide us to what we should be doing, has no power to overcome our sinful nature. See, they're heart issues. Even sexual sin starts in the heart, as Jesus said. And idolatry and jealousy and selfish ambition, envy, these are from within. As Jesus himself said, out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, lies and slander. Jesus said these come from the heart, from the very core of who you are internally. And so we have then the new principle is Jesus is our life. And also, he's our liberator. He has set us free from the law. Free from sin, first of all. Freedom from sin because it says in Romans chapter 8 that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. And you could substitute the word law there with the word power. For the power of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the power of sin and death. Like aerodynamics, like flying that plane. The power of gravity is always there, but the law of aerodynamics allows me to overcome the power of gravity. And so it is with Jesus and with the life that he gives. And so the fruit of the Spirit, and the word there, fruit, is singular. The fruit evidenced in a whole bunch of things, love, joy, peace, patience, and so on. All those fruit, that fruit is evidence of the Spirit of God in control of my life. And so we have Jesus the liberator from sin, but also from the law. Back in chapter 3 of Galatians, Paul had said to the Galatians, "Are you so foolish, having begun with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort?" They had gone back to the law. That instead of having been saved by the Spirit of God, revolutionizing, causing new birth, new life, and a whole new dynamic in their Christian lives, now they're going back to following the law again. And he says, no, it doesn't work. It won't work. He says, you are to live by the Spirit. And so we're free to serve. And it says that in verse 13. Look what it says. It says, my brothers, you're called to be free. And then it goes on to talk about the law is summed up with a single command, love your neighbor as yourself. So if you are moved by the Spirit of God, and the first of all, the fruit of the Spirit is love. If you are filled with the Spirit and you're walking with the Spirit, then that's going to be, you're going to have love as an evidence of that, and that is the fulfillment of the law. But it's an internal thing. It's a transformation thing that occurs within the soul and the spirit of a person, not an outward law that says you've got to love your neighbor as yourself. It's so different and it's so wonderful. Now we are not only is the Spirit our life, we live by the Spirit, but we are led by the Spirit. And it's very close. These are all tied together very closely, but let's look at it. We have a new presence daily, hourly, minute by minute, the Spirit of God versus the flesh. Whenever the Bible talks about the flesh, it's translated differently in some translations as correctly the sinful nature. What I am born with, a nature that's biased towards sin, that's biased towards selfishness. I want my way. I want what will please me. That is my sinful nature. And to then say I want what others want more than I want for myself is so radically different from our sinful nature. So the love of the Spirit of God is so radically different from the selfishness of the sinful flesh, the sinful nature. So in this, I've got three videos to show you, and we're going to stop occasionally and have a look at one or two or three videos. So I've injected these into my message today, so be prepared. First of all, he is the new authority. The Spirit of God is the Lord. It says that in 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18, among other verses. But there it says we're being changed from one degree to another into the glory of Christ. There's a transformation occurring in our lives, and it comes from, it says, the Lord, who is the Spirit. The Spirit of God in you is Lord. I mean, he's God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All three persons of the Trinity, they are Lord. And so the Spirit in you is there not to serve you, but for you to serve, for you to follow. And so to be sensitive to his ministry and to come under his authority. So when you read in the Bible, you shall not kill, but when in your heart the Spirit of God stirs you to not speak against somebody in a nasty way, because it's the same principle of hurting someone else, it's obedience to the law or obedience to the Spirit. It's the same thing. It's obedience to the authority of God. And so we must see that the Spirit of God is our Lord. When I was living in New Zealand, we used to go, occasionally we saw sheepdogs and cattle dogs, and they'd obey their master. The master would say, I remember at one dairy farm, and the guy said, he took me out early in the morning for as he was rounding up the cows to come in and into the yard just by the milking shed. And he said to his dog, and he whistled, and he said, get away back. And the dog ran right back to the back of the herd and started mustering them up to come into the yard. And it's just amazing to see these dogs. They're so intelligent and so obedient. But I spoke to a guy who was a shepherd, a dog handler for sheep. I suppose you'd call him a shepherd. Anyway, he said, I said to him that thing, this dog's so intelligent. He said, nah, it's not intelligent. In fact, intelligent dogs are bad news. They're difficult. They have their own way and their own will. He says, we look for obedient dogs. Let's watch the video.
His sheepdog, this one is Liz, must interpret Joe's commands carefully. From the hundreds of sheep around, she must pinpoint exactly which ones to move. Dogs can follow Joe's commands from as far away as half a mile. If a straggler gets left behind, there's even a command for look back, you've missed one. The trust between shepherd and dog must be strong because the work is potentially hazardous.
Okay, so I put these in because I think at the end of the day, you're going to walk out of here and you're going to remember the video, what I'm saying. But if you remember the video, you might remember what's attached to the video, and that is that the Spirit of God in us is like that shepherd who commands, who whistles, who as it were, communicates, nudges us, and moves us to do what he wants us to do, and we're to listen and interpret what he's saying and apply it to our lives. The second thing is, not only is this new presence of the being led by the Spirit his a new authority in us, but it's a new desire that he brings with him, a new desire. As it says in verses 16 and 17 here, where it says, I say, live by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature, for the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit of God desires what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with one another so that you do not do what you want. So he's saying here that we have our sinful nature, which has strong desires, and we have the Spirit of God who has desires, godly, holy desires. And they are in conflict. God doesn't, when we become a Christian, we're born again, we don't then lose our sinful nature so that we just automatically do everything righteous and holy and loving and perfect. No, we have a choice. One day, we will be in that place where it says in Romans 8 that we will be in a place where there will be no more sinful nature. Thanks be unto God who gives us the victory, he says, through our Lord Jesus Christ at the end of chapter 7 in Romans. So we have this conflict that is there at all times. And I want you to notice a couple of things about it, because it's a call here to walk with the Spirit who leads us. And that walk is not like a walk in the park. It's a battle. It's a conflict. You see, it says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, we're talking about the sinful nature. He says, your old self is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. So the desires that we have as part of our sinful nature are deceitful. They deceive us. They make us think, yes, I will feel much better. It'll be much better if I respond to that person in that way, or if I do this or I don't do that. If I allow myself to be caught up with lust, or if I allow myself to respond to my sinful nature that says, you just take that, it won't matter. No one will miss it. You see, that sinful nature has desires and they are deceitful. They deceive us into thinking we're going to be better off by doing that, when in fact, from Adam and Eve onwards, it's always been the opposite. If we follow sinful desires, it brings death, ultimately, the Bible says. So you don't have to work at trying to be angry, do you? You know, I've got to be, my sinful nature's there, so the law is that I've got to be angry, so I'm going to be angry. You don't think it through at all, nothing. Your brain doesn't even engage except you get angry because that person crossed you, and so immediately your sinful nature rises up. It's always there, and it's strong, it's powerful. Powerful emotions, powerful corrupt mind, and strong will. That's the flesh. But then on contrast to that, you have the Spirit. Let me read the contrast. It says, the acts of the sinful nature are sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, and drunkenness, and orgies, and the like. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness. Where are we? Faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. What a contrast. But the fruit of the Spirit doesn't come automatically, necessarily, unless you're walking filled with the Spirit and you're seeking to be sensitive to His guidance and His leading you in your life. I love classical music. And my second video I'm going to show you in a minute is the fourth piano concerto of Beethoven. I don't know whether any of you saw, I put on Facebook, our church group, saying, what's this got to do with the Spirit of God in our lives? And I don't know whether any of you listened to it. The first movement is, it sets the actual melody, the theme, music, it states the theme, if you like. And the second movement, it's a striving for dominance between the orchestra and the piano, and you'll hear it. You'll hear the orchestra really strong and powerful and assertive, and the piano responds with quiet, gentle, but rich chords, a different tune. And then it goes back and forth between the orchestra and the piano, and the heavy, strong orchestra and the beautiful, quiet piano, until eventually the piano takes control of the orchestra, and the orchestra fades and ends up in the third movement. You have the orchestra and the piano playing in beautiful harmony, and that's the triumph of the fourth piano concerto. As we listen to this, I want you to think, when the orchestra is playing loud and strong and powerful, think of those sinful nature traits that you struggle with in your life. Think about them. Do I get easily angered? Do I find it's a natural thing for me to be jealous or envious of someone? Whatever it might be, and think of those things. Then when the piano starts playing, think about the fruit of the Spirit. You can look at it if you wish. Love, joy, peace, and patience. Think about those things and how the Spirit would move you to be obeying and following the leading of the Spirit of God in. So let's have a little bit of a cultural thing. Let's watch a little bit of the fourth piano concerto, or listen to it, shall I say. The next one, sorry. Thank you. That is so beautiful. I just love that. Don't you? See, the piano now has taken control. And in our lives, again, when you go from here, you think about the orchestra, when you get angry, and the Spirit of God is that quiet, gentle Spirit. If you allow Him to take control, the orchestra comes under and in control. And so God's calling us to that. And that's what the whole thing is about this Christian living in the Spirit. It is allowing Him to be Lord in our lives. And we don't remove the orchestra, but we bring it into submission to Christ, the orchestra of our old nature. And thirdly, we're to keep in step with the Spirit. We have a new priority now. And we're sensitive to the Spirit of God. We are growing in that sensitivity. It's something that you have to develop. And I'm struggling to develop, and we are all struggling to develop an awareness of the Spirit of God in our lives, and how He would lead us, and how we should respond to that person at work, and what we should do when we're driving down the road and this person cuts me off, whatever it might be. The way we respond to our loved ones, those that are closest to us, and so often there that the real rub comes. So we need to be sensitive to and keeping in step with the Spirit, where we're walking with the Spirit, and every step along the pathway, we are sensitive to Him being there and leading us. Now, I don't want to be so super spiritual that you don't live your normal life, but it's developing that awareness that He's there. That's the whole point of Christian living, is the Spirit of God. Now, the third video clip is a humorous one. How many of you know about the Amazon Echo speaker? Anybody? Yeah, all right. I would have loved to have demonstrated one, but that's what they look like. And what you do is, we've got a friend nearby here that we went and visited them in their home. And they had one, and they said, a question you've got? So we asked, what's the difference between the Australian dollar and the American dollar at the moment? And so the guy said, Alexa, what? Alexa is the name, and immediately the device recognizes that it's being asked a question. And then asked the question, what's the currency difference at the moment between Australia and US? And it came out with the answer just like that. And said, all right, could you play some Dixieland jazz? And so immediately Alexa, beep, beep, and away she went playing Dixieland jazz. So it's an amazing little device. And Google have brought out one now that's there in competition. But anyway, they're coming down in price, so one day I'll get one. Anyway, somebody's put together this little spoof on Alexa, or the Amazon Echo, about the Christian life. And this is perfect for today. So sit back and enjoy this little video.
Looking for the perfect gift for the believer on your list this holiday season?
Alexa, what's the weather?
The sun is raining.
Say hello to Christian Alexa, the believer's alternative to the Amazon Echo.
Alexa, play Kanye West.
How about Matthew West?
Now everything you love about the Echo, except super Christian.
Alexa, text Vanessa, can't wait to see you soon, kissy face emoji.
Is that really guarding her heart?
With advanced situational recognition, Christian Alexa is here to encourage.
Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength.
Always wanted to be a better Christian? Well, now you can with Christian Alexa.
Let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth.
And each Christian Alexa is uniquely programmed to help you with your individual struggles.
Hey, you want something to drink?
That better be a Coke bottle.
Order your Christian Alexa today and begin seeing immediate life improvements.
Let's eat.
How about Let's Pray?
From the makers of PureFlix and GodTube comes Christian Alexa.
Alexa, play Game of Thrones.
Are you sure you should be watching that?
Give the gift of Christian Alexa and have a happy holiday.
You mean Merry Christmas.
You know, let's just not even worry about it. You know what, let's just listen to some music. You want to do that?
Yeah.
Alexa, play a song to set the mood.
How about I call your accountability partner?
Okay, you know what? All right.
Christian Alexa. Now available at family bookstores.
Okay, fine.
I so enjoyed that. I thought, I'm going to have to show that today. All right, so what do we do now? How do we actually live by the Spirit? There's two things, keep in step with the Spirit. First of all, we take each step in the Christian life in dependence upon the Spirit, that we are depending on Him in our daily living, that knowing He's present and then depending on Him is another thing. And then to keep living in accord with the Spirit. And it's as simple as that. If you're not sure what you should do, pray about it and allow the Spirit of God and the Word of God, because the Spirit of God and the Word of God are meshed together. They can't be separated. One was the author of the other. And so allow the Spirit of God to guide you as you pray about it. And then you can show in practical ways. It comes out in these three ways. First of all, fulfill your life with service for others. As we just had read that to love one another is really the sum of what the Spirit of God wants us to do. Secondly, don't feed your mind with values and attitudes of the flesh. If you feed the flesh, it will become more dominant in your life. If you feed the Spirit, and that's the third one, read and listen to edifying material. Read the Bible daily. Read and memorize Scripture and listen to podcasts and preaching and Christian music and other things, so that you're not always filling your mind with the stuff that the world throws at us, and allow your Spirit, the Spirit of God in you, to be that living, life-giving force and power and person who is really a part of your life, because He is. Thank you. Let's sing our final song together and praise Him.